Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Parkscope On Professional Podcast Hour. My name is Joe. Oh, man. You know what? This feels like putting on just like a familiar pair of shoes, an old sweatshirt. You know, it's just like, it's the old crew. We're just, you know, so well. It's just cozy right now. Oh, man. Joining me tonight is LM. Mike. Mike, how are you doing?
Old Mike is back. Disney is horrible. What are we going to do about it?
Oh, you know, the Epcot's the best park, Mike. Didn't last very long, but here we go. Also joining us tonight is Nick. Nick, how are you doing?
I'll tell you what we're going to do about it. We're going to double the prices and cut the offerings.
Oh, boy. Oof. Anyways, yeah, I
but just like Star Wars, it's going to be good, y'all. Everything will be fixed.
I don't know where to... Anyways, I'm drinking tonight is a delightful seasonal Southern Tier 3X IPA. They have a 2X IPA. They have a normal IPA.
What's you serving, Buzzy?
Well, I'm Buzzy now, based on this 9.5 alcohol beer.
Yeah.
But delicious. So now I have this awesome glass of water to drink the rest of the night. Because I am old. Anyways.
We all are. It's okay.
Yes, we all are old and decrepit.
You're old, I'm very old.
Well, no comment. So guys, how are y'all doing? We haven't talked in a while. Just in general, how's everyone doing? I think our audience would like to know.
Working.
Yeah, I moved into my new house finally. So, you know, that's good. Job's going good. New job's going good. Daughter's doing good.
How are the dogs?
They're doing good. They're being dogs. They're enjoying the more open space because we have about an acre of property. We went from about a quarter of an acre to an acre of property, so they have more space to be dogs and to enjoy life. So
nice. I still want a Boston.
Get one.
I know, but we'll talk about this after the show.
Yes.
So guys, we have our perennial favorite we need to talk about, we need to lead the show with.
Wait, what about me?
Well, Mike, how are you doing?
How's
Pearl doing?
You get a nice new job, you have a beautiful dog named Pearl, you have a beautiful wife, and you got a house, and you got a lot for another house, you're meeting architects, you think you're doing great, you think you're successful, and nothing brings you back down to earth like a trip to Walt Disney World to know your place in life and your status in life as just a poor person.
just someone who can only own two houses. Someone who can... That real dregs of the society.
You know, you make it into the middle class. You know, you're doing well. You're climbing the ladder, living the American dream, and you get to Disney World, and they're like, nope. That's not enough.
You
Bob
can't
Iger
even
needs more than $60 million a year.
You can't even afford the Disney Dining Plan counter service. Boom.
You want a Mickey Premium Bar? Take out another mortgage.
Good Lord. I still can't believe I paid $6 for an ice cream bar.
Believe it, fam.
It sunk in after I bought it and I ate it and I was like, I just paid $6 for that.
Well, when I eat my free with the price of admission to Disney's Animal Kingdom After Hours event, Mickey sandwich, ice cream sandwich, I'll be like, this ice cream sandwich was not worth $125. So.
Remember e-ride nights?
Do you know what? Okay, let's talk about e-ticket nights. Because I am ready here for this. E-ticket nights were the best thing in the world. It required a park admission, yes, but it was also like $17 or like $22 a night, like per person. And it was just like, yeah, it's additional 3 hours. And it wasn't like an additional 3 hours where they cut the park hour short. It's like additional 3 hours where, like, one night we were in the Magic Kingdom till 2 a.m.
Yeah, exactly.
It was amazing. Like, we were closing out we were delirious with, like, sugar and, like, caffeine, like, being 12-year-olds or whatever. And we were just gone. It was amazing. It was one of the best things in the world. E-ticket nights were the best. Like, park admission.
Michael Eisner must read this stuff in disbelief and astonishment. He's like, how quaint were our e-ride nights? We were charging $17. Iger is getting $117 for people to go to Animal Kingdom and Hollywood Studios after park hours.
Yeah.
How quaint. How short-sighted were we?
Mm-hmm.
Look what Iger is getting away with. Lord of mercy.
Yeah.
Whew.
And you know what the worst part is? Like, the original After Hours event, I'm actually writing about this, but the original After Hours event was like, you could get in at 4 o'clock at the Magic Kingdom, and you could go 4 till whenever closing was, I think 8 that night, let's just say. And then you could go from 8 to 11, just the exclusive time. So you really had about 7 hours of park time, 3 of those exclusive. So it's like, why that actually sounds pretty good when you think about it, looking at this new thing where it's like you get in an hour early. Like for the Animal Kingdom ones, you get an hour early. Unfortunately, because they close all the animal exhibits an hour early, you can't like go on Kilimanjaro Safaris, you can't go on any of the animal trails, you can't do any of that stuff. You basically show up and you either do the ride you can do already or you get something to eat. That's it. So it's just, I'm already kind of like, ooh, I don't know if this is a good value, but I just got to do it. I feel like I need to do I need to do Pandora at night just so I can finally get my head around that thing and figure out what's going on. I need photos. I need opinions because I'm writing an article on it. So
Photos. I've got opinions.
Yeah, I know, but I need my own. But anyway.
So we got to Trader Sam's Thursday night, and my best friend, who was best man at my wedding, he was there with his significant other. And first thing he tells me is Pandora was badass. And I questioned everything about my friendship.
You're like, oh, God, no, I made a
who
terrible choice,
you?
Didn't I?
When did the pod people come?
Is this the new Jordan Peele movie? Is this it?
Tom Green's got to be on Big Brother.
It's true.
Yeah, it's true. Well,
I didn't know he was still alive, but you know.
And the mooch.
The mooch.
I no comment. Anyways, so we have a perennial target we need to talk about, a perennial subject. That's right, everyone. We have a Polar Coaster update. Polar Coaster coming 2020, if anyone still gives a shit. Yeah, so that's what happened. They're saying the Polar Coaster is going to open in 2020 now. Thoughts?
Yeah.
Exactly. Anyways, we are now moving on. So they opened a new ride this week. Did you guys see it? Nick, I know you saw it.
I saw it, yeah.
Mike, did you see the new ride?
I saw the new ride. And I'm wondering why it's not in Epcot right now.
Yep, so at CES, Google opened a Google Assistant ride.
Oh.
And it is actually pretty good.
Yeah, it is.
It's pretty catchy. It's pretty awesome. So, yeah.
It reminded me of something that would fit, like, the Great Piggy Bank Adventure thing that they had in the Interventions. Like, a cool little side thing that would work really well.
Mm-hmm. I mean it's not anything special. It's like so the cars are like coaster cars, but it's all on a flat track and it's all powered by tires, and there's some effects to it, but it's nothing like, I mean, it's like it was there for 3 days, so it's nothing like too big, but it's just interesting to see how it was done, and they just did it for 3 days. It was kind of crazy. So yeah, it's a thing. It's actually pretty good. I really like the song. No joke. I think the song's really good.
I thought the whole thing was great. I'm legit. And I know other people have said it. Like, package it up, bring it down to Orlando, and put it in somewhere temporarily while you have the stuff shut down in Epcot. I mean, it would work, and it would give people something else to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nobody wants things to do in Epcot. They just want to walk around and eat and drink.
Well, we'll get to that in a second. We'll get to that in a second. We'll get to that in a second. So, Nick, what are you doing?
My work keys are falling off of the keychain, and I was picking them up to see if I
Okay, because I could hear that. So, are you plugged into your laptop right now?
Nope. I'm plugged into my phone.
Okay, so are you recording off your phone or the laptop? Because it sounds like it's right next... Okay, so Are you sure you're picking up the audio off your phone? Because it sounds like I'm hearing everything off your, like, your desk.
Well, you're not. But okay.
Okay. Well, anyways,
that's just how good the new iPhone is.
Okay. Okay. I'm just giving you a heads up. The audio quality. Don't fit it. Don't fit. You know. Don't fiddle around too much.
Should I start vacuuming or something?
Yeah.
Go
no.
For it.
I mean. I guess this is the e-ticket report now, so we can just like start vacuuming. We can start like doing cage matches or whatever they were doing in the last episode with like the random bells and stuff. Hey, I'm just saying I helped Derek with the audio and the audio is awesome now. So on his end, it's not him anymore. So I don't know what's going on. So we have some updates at Universal, y'all.
Oh?
Yes. There's a nondescript Harry Potter coaster opening this year. Maybe. Who knows? And there's a bunch of updates on it.
I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't see anything.
It's looking
some
pretty
nondescript coaster in the Scottish Highlands or somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. So they've been doing testing on the ride. The ride vehicle has been somewhat seen, not really. It's been in covers. They've been installing more and more track. They've been installing more and more scenery and plants and all sorts of stuff. They're not even remotely done with this. Everything looks great. Bio just did an update in Saturday? Yeah, it was Saturday.
Yeah, we heard him.
Yeah. Yeah, you heard him up above.
Like, literally, I think I did, because he was posting pictures at Disney World when we heard that.
Yeah. So it was actually super, it looks really good. So do you guys have any thoughts on it? Or any other, yeah. So Mike, what are your thoughts?
It's there. You know, the magic's at work and your patience is requested. And looks good. You can see the big giant show building from Hogsmeade Station as you're waiting for the train to come. Hopefully they do something about that. Yeah, the shingles on the roof look nice. You could kind of see the building now all themed up. Yeah. I want to know more about it.
Yeah. Nick?
I didn't see anything. I don't know what you're talking about. I saw a little bit of concept art a long time ago on Pottermore. That's all I know.
You saw trees and a Cornish pixie.
Yep. No, it looks cool. I mean, I'm excited about it.
Script building.
And yeah. I feel like it's kind of getting lost in the shuffle. But I think once more information is put out there, it'll be picked up. It's like Disney keeps releasing these little tidbits about Star Wars and, you know, everybody's just so caught up with that. Which, I mean, and you should be a Star Wars. It should be Star Wars Land. But, you know, there's so little to go on with the Potter coaster that I feel like that's kind of why it feels like it's lost in the shuffle to people online and all, and why people are complaining so much about it.
Okay. I mean, should we talk a little bit about the Universal complaining right now? Or is it something that we don't even touch on and it's not even worth it?
But it's interesting, right? It seems to come up all of a sudden. And you got people like Theme Park Insider writing articles about it. And, you know, Andy, who doesn't say much, coming out and saying stuff. It's strange.
There's something going on. There's clearly something going on. I feel like there's some water being carried, if you know what I mean, going on. Like, you can read through, read, you know, Theme Park Insider's article, and you can kind of look, like, read between the lines on there and kind of, like, know who did what and what happened and see what's going on. It's really interesting. I really don't have much to say because I don't know exactly, but I'm just imagining things right now, and it's really kind of weird. So, yeah, it just seems like there's a lot of turmoil at Universal Creative right now, and I think things are coming to a head.
Yeah, but it's also a function of leadership overall with that property.
Mm-hmm.
They've all been there since the beginning, and it's just, you know, it's just time. It's time. Disney rotates people in and out, and it's time to get some new blood in there. Nobody should be in a position that long. You know, because people get complacent or they have old ideas. You need new ideas sometimes, or just a new way of doing things, new perspective. Mm-hmm. Get some young blood in there. Get some, maybe some female perspective in there. Like, mix it up a little bit.
Like, Universal Studios Hollywood kind of got some new management in there, and that turned out pretty well. So, yeah. You know, they have projects, they have goals right now, they have things that are going on. Well, you know, Universal Orlando is sort of like, I don't know, something's going on, maybe. Who knows?
There's a lot of talented people there they need to utilize to get messages out or just drum up interest. Like, you don't have to give away everything, but, you know, just be more, I don't know, just be present.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be afraid. You have good product.
Mm-hmm.
I prefer it to Disney right now. Again, still. I don't think I ever stopped.
Yeah.
They got a lot of good things going for them and a lot of things coming down the pipe. Like, just don't be afraid.
Okay.
Believe in your product.
Awesome.
I mean, this coaster they're building looks amazing. Like, it looks incredible. And it's huge. And it's Harry Potter.
Yeah. And I mean, but also, like, I want more information, no doubt. But also, like, these guys know when people buy vacations. And they know when they could possibly hit, you know, at the peak of that. When it's like people are like, eh, or things get lull. They know then that's like, hey, now we can actually, like, get people interested in this when this is actually going to open. So
yeah, but see, they've kind of, like, gotten into this regularly scheduled thing where now they're just going from event to event, and there's really no time for these announcements. Like, you keep saying, oh, it'll happen after Christmas. Well, then after Christmas is Mardi Gras. And after Mardi Gras, it's Summer Concert Series or whatever. And after that, it's Horror Nights. There's no gap anymore.
Well, you got this
regular machine running. Yeah.
Because Rock the Universe is coming before Mardi Gras.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I hear you, man. I hear you. It's just,
Yeah, I mean,
eventually, it's going to happen soon. It has to. A function of the schedule. I mean, we're coming up on time. So, you know, I think we're entering into that window where they think people are going to book vacations.
Mm-hmm. You know, maybe it's, you know, around a time where a possible refund is coming, or who knows?
Yep.
You know,
that's what I think they're waiting for.
You know, something like that where it's,
tax,
you know,
refund, what's that?
Yeah, well, no comment right now. We got political last episode. Anyways, but, you know, the idea being, I'm trying to figure out how to put this. I think there's a certain aspect where, yes, they need to, announce things earlier, I think. But also, like, they're not stupid. They know what they're doing. Like, they're doing something different than Disney's doing. That doesn't make it worse. It just is different. And that's what they've always been doing. I mean, like, people are like, oh, I want more Omnimovers from Universal. It's like, well, that's not what they do. it's not what they do.
Nobody does that anymore.
So, it's that kind of thing. And that's kind of my viewpoint on that. It's just like, no, like, that's not how they operate. That's not never how they really operated. So, like, I understand and I agree with that. I want more information, but also on the same angle, it's like, that's not how they've ever operated. So you're just
correct.
You're just butting your head against something that's never going to change because they've never been like that. And even something to add something, like, even something like Harry Potter, which was announced way early, Hogsmeade. Like, you didn't know anything going on until way later on. Like, you just got that overhead shot until nearly opening when you got all the info on Ollivander's and Forbidden Journey and all that stuff. Like, people didn't know what Forbidden Journey was until they got on the ride. Like, people forget that. Like, there was no preview of what was in Forbidden Journey until people got on that thing. Like, there were fake reports coming out about that ride being leaked to like Attractions Magazine about Voldemort on that ride. Like, people forget that. Like, this
wonder
is
how they're going to handle Fantastic Worlds.
They've got to announce it early because it's a new park.
They've handled everything else.
Yeah, or Volcano
Nick
Bay.
Eventually, they had a preview center, and
that's true.
I mean, they'll probably do it like Volcano Bay, where they'll lease some media stuff. And that's about it. I mean, I don't know what else, like, they can do. I mean, I don't think they'll do...
depressing.
I just don't think... Like, even Disney doesn't do, like, preview centers anymore. Like, they just don't.
So you're cutting out.
Oh, I'm cutting out. Can you hear me?
Okay, so that's Joe.
Can you hear me? Oh, no.
Yeah, it's Joe.
Uh-oh. Can you hear me? Talk to me. Okay, good. So you can hear me.
Oh.
Talk to me, boy.
Talk to me, talk to me, talk
Disney
to me.
Disney had a preview center for Shanghai Disneyland. They had Blue Sky Cella for DCA.
Yeah.
They have one in stream.
And they have the whole Star Wars model. They had Pandora, question mark.
But they really didn't. They didn't have that much stuff there. Shall we talk about the Jurassic Park coaster now?
Nondescript coaster on an island.
That's not what he meant, Nick.
I mean,
flags.
I'm just looking forward to the Captain Marvel attraction.
Yeah. Just not in Orlando.
He said.
So, Jurassic Park coaster. That's happening. They're starting construction on that. They started moving some of the, the games. Yeah, the games.
You know what? We didn't even walk through there.
Yeah, I didn't even go. Yeah,
no. Horrible bloggers.
Well, there you go. They're moving the games. They are closing.
Are they moving the games?
Yep. Okay,
I didn't hear that part.
Yeah, they're moving the games. They are moving the Raptor encounter.
Yeah, I knew that.
They are tearing all that stuff out. Reportedly today, they closed all the employee passageways, like in the back of the house near
Triceratops encounter area and all that.
Yeah, exactly. And then they're going to be getting rid of possibly one of the best icons of Isles of Adventure, the bypass Potter Bridge is going to be going away. They are removing that bridge, originally built for when they were building Potter, and it was a bypass bridge between Jurassic
That's
Park and Lost Continent.
Wait, what? They're moving it?
No, they're removing it. They're not
That's
moving
not
it.
A good, that's yep. not a good move.
Yeah, well, not going to argue that. I'm just saying they're doing it, so.
Well, I mean, just whenever they're doing the projectors on Hogwarts, they need that so that people, because of the way that they stage that show, it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
So
I guess they're now just going to push people into Jurassic Park is the only option, I guess.
No, but if you're coming around through, I don't know, because I told a manager one time, I was like, if y'all would open up the Dagon Bypass Bridge, it would work. And sure enough, they opened up the Bypass Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were like, you got to go through Hogsmeade, and I'm trying to go through Hogsmeade. And they're like, no, you can't come through Hogsmeade, you got to go back. And they're like, no, you can't go back. And so, yeah, good luck with that at Christmas.
Yeah, so that's happening. But anyway, the Potter. I keep confusing these two. So it's going to be two coasters opening back to back almost.
Right next to each other.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, the thing is they closed two coasters. So they're replacing two coasters with two coasters. One's going to be in mm-hmm. Potter. One's going to be in Jurassic Park. And this Jurassic Park one is going to be a less themed. Not saying it's not themed. It's just less themed.
Do you mean nondescript?
I mean, it's going to be more. It's going to be more like Hulk than it is Mummy or Potter.
More coaster-ish.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be very fast. It's going to be inversions, I assume. I'm not quite sure, but I think there's going to be inversions. But it's going to be very, very fast. And I think that's going to be really sweet. So that's going to be a cool thing to watch out for in the next few months to see how that develops. And then over the next year or more as it is built. Question mark, shrug, who knows? But, yeah, it's going to be really fun to watch that build. I think it's going to be, it's going to kind of be more in the open for all of us to see how it develops compared to the Potter coaster, if you know what I mean. Do you guys have any thoughts on news and rumors, or do you want to just dive right into the trip reports?
Dive on in.
Okay.
Let's go for it.
Who wants to start?
Michael, you were there longer. You start.
You know, it's a shame we couldn't have recorded this morning at 8 o'clock when I was all fired up. you kind of lose your fire as the day goes on. But I don't know what did it. I don't know if it was sitting at Trader Sam's and kind of being over it, or eating a California grill and seeing that a price of a steak is now $55. Or when your wife wants the Mickey and Premium Bar and you go to the stand, you see it's $5.75. or your friend tells you he had to buy a Purple Haze for $14. This is a beta beer, which is not worth that much. No beer is worth $14. You know, you kind of get back to a place where you were a couple years ago, where it's like, is it really worth it anymore? And then you go to Magic Kingdom, and nothing's changed. You know, you see you have Tron coming, but you know, you're riding everything. It's like, okay, this is fun, but, you know, same thing. Mm-hmm. And you start thinking, maybe I'm coming too much, and maybe it's too much effort. And you go through security, and it's a pain in the butt, and you're paying, you think you're overpaying for All-Star Sports when it's heavily discounted as it is. I don't know. You're not even paying for admission to get in the park. You're still not satisfied with the value. I don't know, guys. I think it's time for me to take a break.
Take a break. So you did some number crunching about the amount of people who do the races now. Do you want to talk about that?
Don't at me, people. I know, like, the numbers are sort of anecdotal and not the whole picture. Like, you know, I didn't go through every single race. I didn't go through the challenges or anything because, you know, I have a job. But, you know, and also it was based on the finishers, not the people who registered. But the number of finishers in the marathon this year was dramatically lower. The half marathon was about 2,000 people finished lower. And at $190 a pop, that's quite a bit of money. And I think it was like $2 million compared to last year in decreased revenue. And that's just in registrations. That's not counting merchandise, dining, hotels, et cetera, et cetera. That's a significant number, I would imagine, you know, for a weekend. And especially when the whole point of Run Disney is to bring people in. And I thought, well, maybe it's just because last year was an anniversary year. And sure, last year, the marathon number, the full, had spiked up. But the half was pretty consistently decreasing for the past 4 years, since 2016, which is all the data that I had access to easily. So, yeah, you know, I think it's a few things. Last year was an anniversary, like I said. I think people have seen it and done it. The hardcore running crowd skips it because there's too many people who aren't serious runners that get in your way and stop and so on and so forth. And then the people who have done Disney races, you know, now they're $190 for a half marathon. You know, you still have to buy park tickets, you gotta find a place to stay, and this, that, and the other thing. So, and also they've decreased entertainment offerings on the course, which I've heard people like Mark Willard complain about. You know, it's just gotten stale. They've cut it far as they could, and I think maybe they're starting to see the result of that.
Well, and also a reduction in, you know, like they still have several races, but they're reducing the amount of unique races. Like, it just feels like they're all the same ones. Like, you don't have Everest anymore, you don't have the Wine and Dine, you don't have the Tower of Terror, you know, things like that.
Well, you have Wine and Dine still, but they brought it to the morning just like any other one.
That's not night
and you have to pay extra to go to the party at night.
Uh-huh.
So, I don't know. And, you know, I will say, running through Magic Kingdom is still awesome. And they go all out for it. There's people in there cheering for you early in the morning. The castle's lit up. They have different music playing throughout the park. But it's not ridiculous music like New Year's Eve. It's just, it's a cool thing to run through. But most of the time, you're just running on nondescript highways and running past characters that aren't worth stopping for, like Jack Sparrow or whatever.
Jack
Sparrow and nondescript female pirate, who my wife was convinced was Elizabeth Swan, and I said, no, it was Penelope Cruz. And she said, well, no, somebody said it's the girl from Pirates 5. So, yeah.
Nondescript, yeah.
Caucasian pirate lady. So I did it last year, and I was ready to not, you know, I wasn't chomping at the bit to do it again. I had a good time, and I got drugged back into it this year because Anne wanted to do it. So we did it, and I had a pretty good time. It's, you know, I had a good result. That's because there was less people. I was in a better corral, but it did feel a little less special than last year. I think for the anniversary year, it was a little bit better. But yeah, I think it would be fun to have some of the more unique races. Maybe like, it doesn't have to be a serious race every time, because most people there aren't for a serious race. They're there for a medal and a run through the parks.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you could get away with just doing a Pandora 5K, and there's a party at the end where you get to stay in Pandora, and, you know, there's a Pandora medal, and people might pay $150 for that.
The medal floats off your chest.
I was thinking it glowed in the dark metal.
Yeah. Or yeah. Both. Just do both.
A neon light inside of it has a switch.
Like the Agri Craig.
You could just have like a 10K for each park, and it wouldn't really require a lot of logistics shutting down a lot of areas. You just have to shut down that one park and a little bit of area around it. You know, you could have a Tower of Terror 10K or 13, you know, whatever, and do it at night, close the park early, and let the runners have free reign of Tower of Terror and Rock and Roller Coaster like they used to do. When Star Wars Land opens, you could have a Galaxy's Edge, you know, you could, and even just really be stupid weird with it. Like,
here's run the Galaxy's Parseret. Edge
8.5K, right? Like, just yeah. Do stupid stuff that you can't do anywhere else, but you could do it because it's Disney and people want the stupid medal and they want to go hang out in the land afterwards. I don't know. Like, you don't have to shut down the whole resort. Like, yeah, sure. Keep Marathon Weekend, like, straight and narrow, you know, run it, a runner's weekend, okay? But the rest of them, like the Princess, structure around Magic Kingdom and Princesses and whatever, and do crazy stuff with it and just have fun with it. And that way it compels people to come. Mix it up a little bit. Like, I'm telling you, 3/4 of the people there don't care about if it's a actual factual half marathon or a full marathon. They just want to get the medal and run through a park.
Mm-hmm.
So have fun with it. Be creative. Ooh, I don't know. But I'm not going to do another one till the 30th, probably, because I can still walk when I'm 35.
Oh, jeez. Oh, God. I hate you.
Shut up.
Yeah. Oh.
So, like, where else do we go from here? All-Star Sports is All-Star Sports. You get there, it's landscaped immaculately. You get in your room and it's musty and
it's just old.
All-Star Sports
just felt old.
The check-in area is gross and cheesy, and that's what it is.
They have updated the little cafe, I forgot what it's called there, so the restaurant.
Yeah.
It's still what it always has been, but they have updated the aesthetics in there somewhat. They have new Nickelodeon Mickey Mouse all over it.
But I could have, I mean, yeah, here's a plug for like one of those DVC resellers or renters. Like the last chance points that you have to stay at Saratoga Springs. I know the horror, but for 39 points, we could have stayed at Saratoga Springs this weekend, and we could have gotten that for $12.50 a point.
Point.
Which would have been like $500, which is about what the All-Star Sports was for 3 nights.
Uh-huh.
That's discounted. Pretty good.
So, you know, I guess there are still ways that you can kind of get a good deal, because Saratoga Springs would have been very, very nice compared to where we were. But there are people who are paying, I'm sure, rack rate for All-Star Sports, and are paying for a dining plan, and are paying for park tickets, and are buying their children bubble wands and the balls on the elastic string, and they're buying the photo pass package, and they're doing the after hours parties, and they're doing the Illuminations dessert party, all that stuff. And I just don't know how they do it, man. I don't know how they do it, because I'm sitting there calculating what I did in my head, and Ann and I are splitting dinners. We got cast member discounts. We got main gated in. We're not buying pictures. And I'm thinking, man, this is expensive.
Mm-hmm. It's like a once every 5 year trip versus a twice a year trip mentality.
And then I can't imagine, though, saving up for 5 years for this big vacation. Then you get there and it's crowded and you have to have fast passes, but you're limited to 3 a day. And if you don't get them for Pandora, like, you're pretty much effed, or futurely Star Wars can be that way. So, like, you've saved 5 years.
Musty
maybe
room.
You get to stay at a deluxe, which is overpriced for what you're getting.
Oh, yeah.
And your kids are miserable, your wife's miserable, you're miserable.
Or the kids just want to be in the pool. The kids want to be in the pool all day.
Yeah.
I mean, or like you're at All Stars and it's musty, or like, remember like the old 1990s, you know, ABC specials where like all like the middle class families would go to Disney World and they'd be like, it's expensive, but I guess we'll stay on site at the moderate resort, you know, that kind of stuff. It's just, that's not a thing
anymore. Like you said, there's a distinction between being, I forget what you said, like it was a little costly, like, you know, a little bit more than it should be, but it was worth it. As
it's a value.
Very expensive.
It's a value. It's a value proposition of like there's a difference between having like a hotel that's like $200 a night and having, you know, your moderate be in the 300s. I mean,
yeah.
You're charging outrageous fees for resorts that just aren't worth it. And
so here's the good comparison that I've discovered this weekend. At Epcot, a cronut is $6 or and some change or whatever. But yeah, Hoodoo Donuts, which by all accounts is more expensive than a donut should be, but is, you know, they're good and they're fun.
Mm-hmm.
You can get 2 to 3 Hoodoo Donuts for the price of 1 cronut. And that's the difference.
You can get 3. Cause
yeah, like, so Hoodoo Donuts,
$4 at Hoodoo
you would expect for a
donuts.
Theme park price. And a cronut is just highway robbery. That you feel like you see it and you feel bad about it. Like you wanted to try it. Well, I wanted to try it.
It was, probably, honestly, the best meal that I had the whole trip was the Voodoo Donut and Starbucks coffee, which was the cheapest. You know what I mean? I mean, which, and I'm not saying anything because I really liked my pad thai. I really liked our pizza that night. I even enjoyed 9 Dragons that we did on a whim. But yeah, I mean, as far as for value and all that, yeah, that was probably the, you know, the best meal for what I paid.
Yeah, Mike.
Voodoo Donuts is great. What a wonderful thing. We're just so happy to be there.
The little Voodoo Donuts inside of Supercharge is outstanding.
Yeah. I don't know. And, you know, Paulie's not wrong. There are still tons of people there forking over the money. I don't see where it's coming from.
Yeah, so I think one thing I explained, and I can explain better in person when I say it like this, is that so one of the things was the idea that they're kind of milking what audience they've built under, like I don't want to say, the way to put it is like a more affordable option, because I've always known Disney's always been more expensive. Like, they've always been. That's
mm-hmm.
They've always been. Like, I'm not going to deny that. But there's a difference between, like, being a hotel that charges, you know, more versus exponentially more. And it feels like we've gotten to the point where it's exponentially more, where now you have kids who have grown up, you know, going to, you know, the All-Stars when they were kids, you know, either on Pop Warner or they went when with their parents or something when the All-Stars were new. And, you know, they're going there for $60-$75 a night, $80 a night. And, you know, they're then becoming Disney fans and Disney Parks fans, and they remember Test Track and they remember this and that, whatever. And now they're going and they're dropping $200, $220 on All Stars. And they're going and dropping even more on the other resorts. And now it's like, well, we can't take our kids as much. So their kids aren't getting that seeded into it. You know, yeah. They're not being like, oh, I need to take my kids. Or, you know, now it's just like, oh, we went once. I guess that's the one time we're going, you know, kind of thing. You know, they're not bringing back the VHS or DVD programs like we used to and watch them religiously. You know, it's those kinds of, it's those small things that are adding up, where it's just like even the basic stuff, like the Christmas parade doesn't feel like it's in the parks anymore. It just feels like it's a concert. Like, it just, the parks feel like so, like, separated from everything, that like now I feel like there could be people who just go once or twice, and then like the next generation, it's just the kids are just gonna be like, oh, we'll do something else, you know, it's just like this other thing we did, or, you know, or whatever. And that my comparison I made to my boss Julia was that sure, rich people are always going to be rich, but at what point are the rich people just going to go, I can fly to actual, you know, actually really nice places like Norway or Polynesia, or, you know, even stuff in the Bahamas, which is not that much farther, you know, for the same amount of money, but they end up, you know, having a better experience because Disney's and this is something I didn't mention, but Disney's so much like optimized everything to the point where it's so efficient that, you know, the kind of the point of luxury is that it's not efficient. Like, there's too much stuff. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like you go up there and there's just enough amount of crab legs and there's just enough amount of ice cream. It's that there's an abundance of crab legs and an abundance of ice cream. You know, it's that kind of thing. And that's the thing I just don't see anymore. It's like, it's not like you're going there and there's just a lot of something and it's amazing. It's just enough. And I think that's the problem, is that they've kind of met, like, in the middle. They burnt that candle at both ends, and they've just hit just enough. And now the only place they can go up is raising the price. And when a recession hits, you know, you're going to find one of those groups of people, or two of those groups of people, are going to fall out. And it sounds like one of those groups of people have partially fallen out, Mike, and we mentioned this in the pre-show. But, like, the rich people, I don't know if they want to go on a Disney vacation when a bunch of other vacations are going to become real cheap real soon if there's a recession. One thing you mentioned in the pre-show, Mike, was how many international tourists did you see this trip?
I don't think I saw any.
And we should note, and we should note that also, this time of year, especially around Run Disney, is not necessarily known for having international tourists and all that stuff. But it should be noted that is interesting, especially when you compare it year over year or
there was some
various other years.
There was a couple of tour groups that I saw, like when Michael was running the race. I saw a group going into the character spot at Epcot. They flooded the line while y'all were running. I saw a few, but not. I saw more at Universal, I think, than I did at Disney, though.
Yeah. So you saw a lot at Universal, Nick?
Yeah. Just
not a lot.
It should be noted they just had that soccer thing at Universal.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, they did. They did, yeah. Which, by the way, how funny is it that no one covered that at all? The only reason why I knew it happened was because Universal was Instagramming it. Like, now, that is interesting. Pull that back to remember how people were talking about how people are, like, talking about Universal's not advertising at all. Well, that's a whole thing they advertise to people who are not our demographic. Like, that's a whole thing they just did. Yeah. People just haven't paid attention to it because it's not for them, which is fine because, you know, Universal is looking for new demographics to go after. But I just think that's incredibly fascinating that they've been advertising towards a, non-English speaking market. And here we are, you know, going like, it's not for us. So it's not happening. So just an interesting comment on that. But anyways, you guys continue.
I had fun. It was a fun trip. I enjoyed it. Like I do every time. I mean, the value is obviously not there, but, you know, I went for other reasons, and I enjoyed those reasons that I was down there. I had fun with it.
Yeah, we definitely had fun.
Yeah. But this illumination.
As long as you don't sit there and add it all up in your head.
Yeah.
You're okay. as long as you expend a little amounts here and there and forget about it, it's fine. Mm-hmm. But when you start adding up in your head, you're like, oh...
And I can't. Oh. $65 for a spirit jersey.
Those spirit jerseys are not cheap.
65. The one that is a kid's is 45. Yeah. A kid's.
I'm asking for all my spirit money jersey up front, Nick. So.
Now you gotta talk to Jennifer.
I'll talk to Jen. It also includes a Joseph and handling fee, which is also the approximate cost of one Trader Sam's drink. So
let's talk about Trader Sam's. Trader Sam's, the drinks, you know, they used to be kind of expensive, but now they're just the same as everything else on property.
But also, what's crazy is, like, I don't think Trader Sam's has really raised their prices, if I'm not mistaken. And they're actually,
the prices,
like,
are now on the menu. Yes.
Yeah,
something I noticed.
So how much were the prices for, like, a drink there? It was like $14 or whatever.
Yeah.
They're about the same.
Here's the thing: that's a normal price for a drink now at like a tiki bar anywhere. Yeah, that's normal now. So,
but here's what Trader Sam's needs to do: they need to mix it up a little bit. We need some new mugs. We need some new drinks. We need some new effects.
Well, that's what I'm excited about going to.
It's not for me, right? It's not for us. It's for a person who just spent $3,000 to stay at Polynesian and happens in there. and is never going to go back again. But for those of us who have been there 20 times now, you can make the drinks at home and have every mug, then maybe it's time to stop going.
Well, I mean, I like Trader Sam's a lot, but, like, you know, Disneyland has introduced new mugs and new drinks.
I will say this about Trader Sam's. If you go to Trader Sam's, like, just you and your significant other, it's a completely different atmosphere than if you go in there with, like, 7 or 8 people.
And I think it helps to have one or two drinks outside before you go in.
Yes, I agree with that, too.
Because, like, we got a wait time and ate at Captain Cook's and then went in there with my friend, and I don't think he was that into it.
Yeah.
And we weren't inebriated enough, and I just made all the drinks the weekend prior at home for friends.
Yeah. It sounded like when me and Jennifer went down, I guess it was last year for Valentine's Day, whenever the Beach Boys went in concert, we went mm-hmm. we did Trader Sam's just us because Amelia stayed home. We had that chance, and it was not the same as even, like, when we were down there, when was that Horror Nights? I guess it was Horror Nights, that just, it was a completely different atmosphere. And I was pretty drunk whenever we went in February, whereas I was driving, so I was not drinking whenever we were down there in October. And it was a lot more fun for me in October just because it was a bigger group of people there, of my friends, and we were having fun talking than it was,
yeah.
You know, in February. So, I don't know. That's just my take on Sam's.
Yeah, well, we're going again in February. Woo!
Yay!
And you know what the best part is? Sean's gonna do it. Do it.
He's finally gonna get it. Are we sure?
Yeah, he's finally gonna get a Nautilus. I think. Maybe. Who knows?
Also, merch team, whoever's responsible for that. Like, obviously the Trader Sam stuff sells at Polynesian, so order some more. Because they're completely out right now. And, you know, people want to buy stuff.
Sure. I want the shirt. It would be nice. But.
Yeah. They have one now. It's a Polynesian shirt. It's $80.
Uh-huh.
But it's a nice silk shirt.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you would spend for a Tommy Bahama shirt. So I guess it's not that outrageous.
It's not, but it's kind of like you have to be...
It's a theme park shirt.
Yeah. We have to be selective about the times when we buy those.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I was going to buy a Sphere jersey, and I was like, well, when am I ever going to wear this?
Yeah.
When I go to Orlando, it's usually hot, and by the time I come back to Disney World, it might be out of style anyway. Also, I'm a guy. Not that there's anything wrong with it.
Yeah, but, I mean, like I told you, you know, you just don't see many men out in the wild wearing Spirit jerseys. Now, Disney World, you know, yeah, and it's, you know, it shouldn't matter, but, you know, here, where I live.
But really, price was the deterrent for me. I was like, I already spent enough money. When am I going to wear this again?
Yep.
I want to build a house.
Well, welcome to the Disney, shirt philosophy. I'm buying it so I can wear it once in Orlando.
Nah. I wear my Epcot shirt some. Like the one I wore this trip. I wear that in the wild.
Okay, did you see the... I sent Jen the... there's a Timon and Pumbaa button-down dark shirt. Like,
no.
It's like a short-sleeve shirt. It's pretty great. You need to look at it. It's on the Disney... Shop Disney. I'll send it to you.
Okay.
But it is amazing. I'll send it to you now, Nick. Tell me what you think about it, but this is something I would wear normally, because it looks awesome. Yeah. It looks like just a normal kind of pattern shirt with some... there we go. There's the vibration.
Yes. It looks like a Hot Topic shirt, honestly. You know, like Hot Topic has the Disney-themed, like, shirts and stuff?
I don't know if I take that as a compliment, but okay, yeah.
No, I mean, if you go on Hot Topic's website and you search for Disney, they have... a lot of stuff that they don't have in their store that is Disney related. Like you can get DuckTales t-shirts and stuff and all that on there. And this looks like something that they would carry on there.
So I'm looking right now. They have a Hi-Hi shirt for Moana for adults.
Yeah, they do.
I just want to get that for Bill and Ted reference. Oh, Hi-Hi. So anything else you guys want to talk about from your vacation?
Nine Dragons was actually pretty good, despite what all you haters say. I enjoyed Nine Dragons, all you haters, better than GECO.
You know, I'm going to GECO in a few weeks, and I don't care, because I love GECO, and I'm going to get a charcuterie board, and it's going to be awesome.
That's how it should be, Joe. You eat at your GECO, and I'll eat at my Nine Dragons, and we'll both be happy.
Are you really happy after eating that at Nine Dragons? Are you really happy?
I really was. I enjoyed
really
it. I enjoyed my meal.
Well, there's a difference between enjoying your meal and being happy.
I was happy.
Okay, that's all that matters. Don't worry.
It didn't upset my stomach. It didn't, I was good. And then we went and we ate Via Napoli afterwards for dinner. Oh,
Via Napoli's good. Yeah, my only disappointment is Gico got rid of the wild boar appetizer. It's now just like pork tenderloins. Like, what the fuck? And it's the same price, too, which is like super expensive, like the 19 bucks or whatever. It's like, what?
Well, boar costs more money and we can give you pork and you'll pay the same price for it.
Exactly. So, Mike, any last thoughts from you?
I don't really care for Happily Ever After.
Oh, we need this hot take. Okay, explain.
It's a lot. It's a bit too much. I didn't watch it from Magic Kingdom, disclaimer, but I did watch it from Polynesian. You can hear it very well. You can see it, everything but the projections. The fireworks seem to be, modern and very technologically advanced. I just don't care for the show, structurally, musically. The original song is not appealing to me. But yeah, it's not for me, right? So,
okay.
It's quite the spectacle. It just doesn't land for me.
I mean, can't argue that, so...
And it kind of suffers from the problem that I have with, Hollowishes and stuff, where they had to alter or amend classic songs in an unappealing way.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, the Genie song from Aladdin, they re-recorded it without Robin Williams. Or... Poor Unfortunate Souls and Hollow Wishes, or it just sounds weird because it is weird. Just doesn't work for me.
Okay.
But it works for people, obviously. Had a lot of Happily Ever After stans attacking me on Twitter.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's why I'm trying to give you plenty of time to defend yourself.
I have nothing to defend. I watched it in person, not from Magic Kingdom, but I did see it, from a place where people do watch it from, and I don't think being there is going to change the way I feel about the original song. And it is quite long also.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a bummer. And to the point where I didn't even fight Anne when she just wanted to go to bed after California Grill. I was like, yeah, I really don't care to see it again. So this wasn't worth the walk over to Magic Kingdom for it. I mean, we did walk over to Magic Kingdom to get on the bus to All Stars, but it wasn't worth the walk in to watch Happily Ever After and deal with the crowd afterwards. Whereas Illuminations is awesome. Sad. We even got a fast pass for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sad. I'm not going to be able to watch that one last time. It's one of my favorites. So
yeah,
and, it is what it is.
Not maintaining it, by the way. They've given up on
it. That's sad. Sad to hear. Sad to see. Well, so I think it's time for us to wrap this up. I need to edit out the Joe, are you there? Joe, I can't hear you. Joe, are you there? So
that's the content our listeners want, Joe.
Clearly. That's exactly what everyone wants. Okay, wait. I'm gonna see what Nick sent me. Nick, the Lilo and Stitch tank top?
No. Lilo and Stitch tank top.
No, you're sending me all the guys' shirts from Hot Topic. Oh, they do have a Emperor's New Groove shirt.
No, I tried to send you the one that's Timon in his hula outfit saying, are you aching for some bacon?
Okay, I got to give it to them. They do have an Oliver and Company shirt, which...
They have all kinds of stuff.
You know, that's interesting. Anyways.
Oh, last thought. Mobile ordering's awesome.
Yeah.
We ordered hot dog from Casey's as we were walking up. And it's kind of like at Starbucks where if you mobile order, you usually get your drink first.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like... The line to get in Casey's was out the door, and we just walked right in and got our hot dog.
Nice.
So, good job, Disney.
There you go. Yeah, mobile ordering seems to be like one of the biggest hits in any park, and it just seems to be something everyone's trying to do now because it just makes sense. Like, you can get an order in. The people who still want to order regularly can do it, so you're not forcing anyone to, use your crazy system or anything like that. And just everything seems pretty good.
There's my positive moment. Everybody.
Yay! Everyone has one. Nick, where can everyone find you online at?
Oh, it's at ParkScrimNick on Twitter.
There you go. Mike, Are you?
You can find me at Nondescript Coaster Fan.
There we go. On twitter.com/r/
You can find me @user/
Robert.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. He got off Twitter right when he realized, oh, wait, maybe my 60% pay increase wouldn't be something that would go over real well on Twitter. Oh, yeah, I realized that. So, yeah. Yeah, never forget that, guys, that we can't pay our employees living wages, but, man, Bob Iger can make over $60 million a year. You can find me at Parkscope Joe. You can find all of us at parkscope.net. Go leave us a good review on iTunes. I haven't looked at any of our reviews in a while because I'm assuming that all of our reviews are like now like, oh, I can't believe these guys just totally ripped Ben Shapiro. Oh my God, or whatever. I don't know. So you guys just leave us some good reviews. I don't know. I think we deserve it or not. I don't know. I'm very confused. I'm tired. Anyways,
leave us reviews. We might do more.
Yes, we may do more. Maybe it'll get Mike to do more episodes. Who knows? I don't know.
Also, another positive: the Hall of Presidents, other than you know what, is awesome. So, it's very well done. The media is crisp and really good quality projectors and good story. And
the new show's actually like the story of the show.
Yeah, it's worth a shot.
Completely different take, and I like it.
It's not a big part of it. So,
cool.
Don't be afraid. It's cool.
Yeah.
Also,
good job, Imagineering.
I've never done the Illuminations, whatever fast pass thing, and that was actually really good. I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed that spot.
There you go. Ending on a high note.
I'm really happy that we're adding all these positives in right like after everyone's like tuned out. They're like okay, this is like this is the credit roll. We're leaving now, and I like how we're putting in the like the after credits Spider-Verse scene right now. Where everyone's like, oh, no, you got to stay till after they say where you can find them on Twitter. That's when all the good shit comes out. That's where the good ones are at. That's what you want to stay for. So.
Oh, and Universal is so dead, though, on Sunday.
Oh, man. Universal's so great. Nice. We did early entry there. That's awesome.
And we had a breakdown, too, on Transformers.
Yeah, and in the elevator.
In the elevator. Mm-hmm.
Well, there you go.
What else you want, Joe?
I don't know what else you got. I don't know. I'm just sitting back. I'm chilling. Just drinking some water here.
Barney haters out there, take your 2-year-old child and watch it and tell me that it doesn't have a place in that park.
Yeah,
that's all I'm gonna say.
And the fire's back in the Mummy.
So what can Spatula complain about now? I have no idea.
Social media and PR.
Yeah, just everything else, I guess. Okay. Oh, wow. What a
Fast
surprise.
Fast and Furious Supercharged, which is still great.
At one time, Universal made something bad. They are terrible. I need to complain about that online. Thank you. Anyways, Mike, do you want to do the honors?
Love everybody. Hate everything. Kongaloosh. Universal's better. Yes.